Come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
Mark. Hope.
Whoa. I'm Mark. Not you.
I don't know why I said that.
I thought I had an audio lag or something. That was funny. Who are you?
Brooke.
That's phenomenal. I love it. Shit. Anyways, this week we are talking about my pick of February, and I chose The Running Man from 2025. I know we were both excited to watch it. It just came on Paramount Plus. We've covered the original on here before, so I figured why not do the remake? I'm anxious to see your thoughts on it.
Me too. Same with you.
But before we talk about this, let's kick off our box office news. And what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Hops and Robbers Pineapple IPA.
Nice.
Which you?
I'm drinking the last bottle of that OV. I need to stop at a liquor store or a beer store. And my parents bought us this this coaster, and I guess you scan like a QR code on it, and then it gives you this app on your phone, and then you put your glass on the coaster, and then it connects to the app, and it'll give you recipes for drinks. Like, you can tell it whatever you have in your liquor cabinet, and then you pour it, and it goes by the weight, and it'll tell you when to stop.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I haven't used it yet, but I want to test it out maybe this weekend.
That's cool.
Yeah, it'll give you like full rest. What's your last four watched?
Watched a couple movies. Watched The Smashing Machine.
Oh, nice.
It got added to Paramount Plus. I thought it was all right. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Not boring. Like, I'm not like a UFC guy. Like, we used to watch it all the time on BP, but I felt like I just kind of went along, you know, for the beers and just to watch people fight. So I like know some fighters now, but like I don't really follow it that much. But it's a pretty good movie. I do know, like, obviously the main guy's following and his best friend there. I know who that is, but pretty good movie.
Nice.
And then I watched The Conjuring Last Rites.
Okay.
Finally watched that. I thought it was okay. Like, if you've seen any Conjuring movie except, like, the first one is, I think, one of the best horror movies of the decade and central decade. I think it came out in 2016, so 2015 maybe 2015 or 20. Anyway, but anyway, yeah, I think, you know, it's, if you've seen any Conjuring movie, you know what you're getting. They kind of all. Like, they're all the same, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
I thought, like, this one was okay. Like, yeah. Anyway, it was had some scary parts, but like, it was kind of boring, to be honest.
Yeah, it was too long. Just like
2.5 hours. Yeah. And then I watched Ben-Hur.
Oh, you watched it?
I did.
Holy shit, man.
well, I watched a lot tonight because it was, but
yeah. Kids.
No, it's like 3 hours and 40 minutes. I thought it was good. Like, you just appreciate this cinema and stuff. I don't know, it's very impressive. I'm not like a religious person. There's like a lot of religious things in this story which I didn't know about. But anyway, it just, from the news I told you this morning, that is like a slap in the face to these kinds of movies. But yeah, so
go ahead and say it. Let's fucking rip on them for a minute.
A movie production company, I forget what it's called, but anyway, it's Darren Aronofsky's movie production company. He made a TV series entirely out of AI. And I don't know if you ended up watching the trailer I sent you, but like it is so bad and so obvious, and it's a disgrace, honestly, for a guy who made movies like fucking Black Swan, Mother, what's the fucking other one?
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream. Like, these are The Wrestler, for God's sakes. Like, these are fucking artistic movies. He's won, or I know his work has won Oscars. It's just, I don't understand it, man.
No, yeah, I agree. It is a slap in the face to filmmakers and to actors, like to the whole crew of people that could have been in this TV show.
Literally, you go on IMDb, it has like writer, director, and I don't know, composer or something like that. And it's literally three people.
Yeah. And I even like on IMDb, the tags that are on it are AI slop. And
Oh, yeah.
like just
It's.
people are fucking ripping them apart and well deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he has plans to actually release this show or if like anybody's even going to pick it up, or if he was just testing the capabilities of AI, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I lost some respect.
Anyway, what did you watch?
I only watched two since we last recorded for Elm Street. I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because I had never logged it properly
Nice.
back whenever we first got Letterboxd and we didn't
Yeah.
log shit properly.
Yeah.
And I've never watched Across the Spider-Verse, so
Yes, you do,
I need
because
to watch
the
that.
new one comes out next year or this year, I think.
So I wanted to get a refresher on everything too, so.
Nice. And
But
I think
Matt,
fucking the TV show comes out this year with Nicolas Cage.
oh yeah, that's right.
The Spider-Man Noir. Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah, I love this movie. 4.5 stars I gave it. And then I watched Durandar,
Oh, yeah.
which is it's an other Indian action movie. After we watched RRR, I kind of, I don't know, started looking at some other Indian action movies, and this one was like high on a bunch of lists and stuff, but it was still only in theaters, is what it said. And then just out of the blue, I got a notification from Letterboxd, like not even a week, well, through 4 days ago, maybe 5 days ago. And
Yeah.
it said that this movie was on streaming services. I was like, oh, fuck. So it's on Netflix. And man, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
It's 3.5 hours long, and it's part one of a two-part epic. The second part comes out this March. And it's going to be another 3.5 hours.
Jeez.
So it was really long, and there were some parts that definitely dragged on. It wasn't quite as entertaining as RRR for like
Okay.
the non-action parts,
Yeah.
but dude, the action in this movie, holy fuck, it was nuts. But I definitely recommend checking it out. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I gave it 4 stars, so
Nice.
that's all I've watched. I started playing Where Winds Meet.
Sounds familiar.
It's a free-to-play game. And it was on Steam, and then they ported it onto,
Oh,
but
okay.
it's like there's so much shit to do in it, and like it's a lot, but it's really fucking good. They've thought of like everything. So it's very user-friendly, and it's
Oh, wait, is it the one that's like Minecraft?
no.
Okay. But I
No.
guess there is a game that is in development, or but literally it's like exactly like copy and paste on Minecraft, but apparently it's like way better than
Oh, really?
Minecraft. Yeah, I forget what it's called. My buddy at work told me about it.
Yeah, no, this one it's an RPG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all. 4 hour box office. In fifth place and still fucking kicking around, we have Avatar Fire and Ash. It brought in 5.6 million. In fourth place, we have Zootopia 2. It brought in 4.9 million. That one's still hanging on too. Jesus Christ. And then our top three are all opening weekend movies.
Nice.
So third place, we have Melania. It brought in 7.1 million. Love this. Second place, we have Iron Lung.
Oh man, it's fucking crushing.
It brought in 18.1. It's so good.
Apparently, like, it's technically not a funded movie. So literally,
I think he did it
whoever,
all himself.
yeah, he did. He paid for everything himself.
Yeah, which is wild.
And I think,
It's like a one shot or a one location movie, but
yeah, like I
still.
think it estimated cost him like $3 million, like not even that maybe, but it was all funded by himself. So it's and he distributed himself, and it's pretty awesome.
He's killing it. He's doing such a good. And in first place, Sam Raimi's newest one, Send Help, brought in 19.1 million. I've heard it's really fucking good too.
Yeah, and like I never realized that it's been that long since Sam Raimi directed a movie.
Wasn't his last one Spider-Man 2?
No, Drag Me to Hell.
Oh yeah, Drag Me to Hell. Yeah, that was after Spider-Man 2. Yeah, shit. But I love because Rachel McAdams is in it, right? And she looks crazy. I love when actors come out of their comfort zone like that. Like how in Becky, fuck, why can't I think of his name? Doug Heffernan. You know who I mean. Kevin James. Kevin James. How he kind of like completely changed his character, and then like Vince Vaughn in Brawl in Cellblock 99. Like it's just, I love when actors do that. But yeah, we've officially kicked off the cinema year with some big names. All right. What do we have for 4Ks?
4K. 4Ks, we got Marry Me. No, why that needs a. We got Keeper, Osgood Perkins
Want to see
movie that came
that.
out last year. Friday the 13th,
Cool
4K.
cover.
Friday the 13th, Part 2. And 310 to Yuma from 1957 on Criterion. That's
Short
it.
week. All right. Let's dive into this movie.
Do it.
Or let's run into this movie. All
Oh.
right. Like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about The Running Man for 25. Starting off the synopsis, a man joins a game show in which contestants allowed to flee anywhere in the world are pursued by hunters hired to kill them. This was directed by the one and only Edgar Wright. It was done. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which was our first ever episode on this podcast.
It was, yeah.
Baby Driver, Last Night in Soho, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World. Resume is so fucking good, man. He has so many good movies. It stars Glenn Powell as Ben Richards, Josh Brolin as Dan Killian, Colman Domingo as Bobby T, and Lee Pace as Evan McCurry. I have three honorable mentions.
Okay.
I know you and
Okay.
I are going to have two.
Yeah. I'll save one who I don't think you'll have on here, but I got David Zayas, who played Richard Manuel. He was on Dexter. He was like the cop that always wore Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, actually, I knew he looked familiar. Right.
Oh, I'll go with we just talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know why sometimes on IMDb it has the credit order instead of the popularity, and it's
I
like
know. It is.
Amelia
She's good now.
Jones played Amelia Williams, who we just talked about last week. So
Yeah, she was in
yeah.
Ghostland.
Yep.
And I have Michael Cera and William H. Macy.
Yes, sir.
William H. Macy was pretty high on the credits list, so I thought he had a bigger role in this movie, and he did not.
I didn't even know that him and Michael Cera were in it, to be honest.
I didn't either until I saw like the credits at the beginning, but the opening credits. But yeah, Macy was in it for like 3 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, and then Sarah was in it for like 10 minutes.
His character was so good, though, man. I
Yeah, it
fucking
was funny.
loved
Yeah.
him. That's it.
Cool.
All right, let's talk about it.
Alrighty, so the Running Man from 2025. We covered the original Running Man. I don't know. Near the start of this podcast
I think it was
ish.
like the first 10 episodes, probably.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so we meet our character Ben Richards. He is at his job. It seems like he had just gotten fired from it. He spoke to his representative about radiation exposure. He has this little girl, Kathy, in there, who's like a baby pretty much, and he is getting fired from his job. And it seems like this has happened quite a bit in his adulthood because he has a little bit of a temper. And first introduction to Glenn Powell as Ben Richards. What did you think of his iteration of him?
Wasn't a fan.
Okay.
I love Glenn Powell. I think he's a great actor. I think the writing in this movie, and I think it really hurt him in this character. Yeah, didn't like it. Didn't like, I didn't like the character. Didn't like the character.
I could get that because he's very I did like his moments of like at the start where he was just pissed off at everybody
Yeah.
and he's always getting fired from his jobs for insubordination and like him trying to get to the to what's the corporation, whatever it's called,
The
I forget what it is,
network.
the network. And he's like get pissed off, but he's also like trying to be like nice. And then, like throughout the movie, he just I felt like Edgar Wright was kind of trying, I don't know, trying too hard to be like Edgar Wright-ish. I don't know if that's
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
like
I do
I
think that
don't
makes
know
sense.
if it would have been better with a British guy. I don't know, because I feel like Hot Fuzz and those like. They just have like kind of the comedic timing, whereas like Glenn Powell, he is does have that kind of comedic effect, but he's also like this suave guy, right? Like he is not a rom-com guy, but he just does really well in those roles.
Yeah.
So you learn that his daughter is sick. He ends up seeing an ad for the Running Man. Basically, the premise of this is you have to run from Macon for 30 days and his group of hunters. There is five of them in total. But honestly, like three of them are non-existent for some reason.
Well, yeah, and like I talked about this in my review at the end. They, because in the original Running Man, all the hunters were so fucking cool, man. Like, we had the guy on the skates. We had fucking Jesse Ventura was one of the guys. Like, it was like American Gladiators on steroids. And in this movie, they all look the exact same. And they're just so fucking basic. Like, I don't know. Like, McCone, he's, I don't know. He's the only one that kind of stands out a little bit. But it's just, I don't know. There was no creativity with them.
No, it didn't really, I didn't like I get the running man thing because he's run away from them. But in the OG, like it felt more like an actual game show, whereas this kind of felt like a reality show a bit,
Yeah, because like,
which I guess that is what TV is now, right? There's just it's
yeah.
so many reality TV shows.
Which is fair. Because yeah, in the 80s, like game shows were huge. And like the original Running Man, it took place in an arena and like everything's kind of within this building. And this one, he has free rein of everywhere. Like at one point he tries to go into Canada. So it's like,
Yeah, he can wear disguises
yeah.
and stuff like that, and he's just like hiding out. And then there's like two other people on the game show, and you don't really, well, one, you don't, he's kind of there for comedic timing, but the other girl like seemed like a badass, but you don't see her at all. Like she's lasting as long as he is, right?
Yeah. And like it didn't make a whole lot of sense because like you have to survive for 30 days. If I have to survive for 30 days to win $1 billion, I'm not staying in that city. I'm on the first fucking train, plane, automobile out of there, and I'm going across the world for 30 days.
Yeah, because they get 12-hour head start, right?
12-hour head start. They're given $1,000 to begin. They have these like bracelets, and every day that passes, they get more and more money. And then at the end of the week, their money doubles. So like every day you're getting more money. I don't know if you can use this money outside of the United States or like outside of the city even. I don't know. But like, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not
And you
staying
have
anywhere
to
near that city.
you have to submit these like 10-minute videos of yourself like every 2 days or something like that.
But anyways, we're kind of
I know, yeah. We do get a little. I felt it was kind of dumb, to be honest. You see Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's like the guy on the money.
I missed that.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, on like their bills, like their money they have, their
Yeah.
currency, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger in a suit.
Oh, really? I missed that. That's funny.
But it's like some other games. There's one that's like speed the wheel, and it's just some guy trying to run on the fucking
Yeah.
treadmill answering questions or something like that. And one little thing that kind of is a big thing in the story is the baby loses their sock. So it's kind of like a thing at the end. So he's at the building for tryouts. He's like in line. Some old guy like fucking passes out basically, and he tries helping him. And these kind of security guys, they are called groupers. No, not groupers. Because there's the hunters. He gets $10,000 for each hunter he kills, I think, and then $1,000 for each of the other guys that he kills. He meets with not yet actually. When he's getting signing in, he has like a red triangle like on his name. I don't think they ever say what it is.
No, I don't think so either.
That's probably like kind of watch out for this guy because he's a fucking hothead.
Well, it might mean that he meets the requirements for Running Man, because like you need to like they have a special criteria, and every season of the Running Man they have three people, and each of the three people are on there for a specific. So maybe because like whenever you go to the network, you're auditioning, like you're doing, it's basically like the fucking combine for NFL, right? Like you're doing all these different challenges and stuff like that. And then they take you and they sort you into the show, like whatever show fits you best. So maybe that was just kind of a flag to say.
The guys are called goons too. That's what I was thinking of. So he meets a girl named Lachlan, who is his neighbor actually, and then a guy named Tim. They are at an assessment which will basically determine which game show that they can go on. They say that Ben is the angriest man to ever audition for any of these shows. So they make it to the final assessments, and one of them Ben ends up saving Tim in one of the kind of virtual things that they're doing. So Laughlin and Tim also get into Running Man. They meet with Dan Killian, and then after they're like seem like kind of drunk, and then they leave with a girl. Ben goes on there, and Dan basically tells him that you're perfect for this, and Ben says, I will do any other show but this show, because his wife doesn't want him to do this show because it's basically suicide.
Yeah, no one has lasted more than 29 days.
No, one guy did last 29 days. He'll give him a signing bonus. Like he's gonna like Dan basically says all of the shows, other shows, the people make no money. Like all of the shows combined don't make as much as this one show with just the signed bonus they get. So he signs the signing agreement and basically flips Dan off. You meet Agent Doug, who is a family alliance liaison. They're basically hiding his family because I think it's just due to the show, obviously, right?
Yeah. And
Like
because, like, the hunt.
protection.
Yeah, it's almost like witness protection because the hunters don't really give a fuck. So, like, if Ben was to go home and the hunters found out he was at home, they would just shoot up. They don't
Yeah,
care.
exactly. He gets one call to his wife, and yeah. And it is showtime. What do you think of Bobby?
Bobby T.
Yeah.
He was entertainment.
Yeah. I like the actor that plays him.
Yeah, he was very over the top, like game show host.
Yeah.
I didn't mind him. I liked him.
So some more rules for this. People can call in tips on where the people are, and the people who call in tips get money as well from the network. And basically, the show is basically using AI and changing all of this propaganda to make it look like the contestants are these terrible, terrible fucking people. Like, they change his video saying that he fed information to commies and he hates all the kind of poor people, the people who are like basically a part of his society, right? So yeah, every goon he kills wins $10,000, and any hunter he gets $100,000. Like we said, he gets a 12-hour head start. He has to do 10 minutes of cam every day and then send it off to the network. Basically run far and get rich. And you get $1 billion. There's five hunters. Chief McCone is like this guy straight out of fucking Borderlands.
Yeah, that's
Like
fair. Yeah.
wearing a mask the whole time. And I love the actor that plays McCone. I think
Yeah, I like Lee Pace.
he's so good, man.
He was so good in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
He was
Yeah, I love his
fantastic.
character.
Yeah. So they get sent down like this fucking elevator thing. I wish they had the slide like the first movie, man. But yeah, they get all this gear and stuff like that. He's going to see Molly, who we don't really know who he is, and he's a family friend kind of. He's like in this bunker, has all these weapons and stuff, and has this this explosive here, what it's called, big fucking explosion BFE or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So he's getting IDs and costumes from him. His first get up is a businessman with this really bad fake mustache. And Molly tells him that he was going to bring him in as a partner. And he was literally going to tell him like 2 days ago, but his wife told him not to yet, which terrible timing.
Yeah, awful.
So he is going to New York City and the hunt begins. I love the scene in the fucking train where he's like just chilling, and the kid is like, "Sir, what's up their face?" And he thinks like that he's gonna tell. He just fucking grabs the kid. He's like, "You fucking say anything, I'll fucking kill you." And the kid's like, "Your mustache," and it's like falling off. I really do like his charisma in this movie.
You like what, sorry?
His charisma.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I just like whenever he makes the first video and he's just like, "All right, well, I guess I'll take a nap and you can look at my ass." And then like turns around and like slaps his ass at the camera.
Yeah.
Funny.
What do you call them, shit eaters?
Something like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So it's day two. Molly has been captured. He's getting tortured. They find out that his name is John Springer, I think is his whatever. And they're at the hotel, but then it turns out that he's just dreaming. We get footage of Tim, the other contestant. And like sometimes it kind of did bother me a bit because like it's like but from like the TV show aspect of it, where it's like through like the little like ball camera, and they're like, "Oh, here's Tim. He's at a convenience store and he's dressed as himself." And he's like hitting on the cashier, and he's like, "Oh, hey, like I'm my name's Tim. Like I'm on this fucking show, The Running Man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be back tomorrow." And just like leaves with his breakfast sandwich, and then like Ben's like watching the video. He's like, "Tim, get fucking moving!" And then the hunters come up and just fucking shoot him.
Yeah, lasted the whole 2 days.
He extends his stay for 3 days. He is in Boston now. He makes another tape. One of the main hunters that is really the focus point of the whole movie, except for McCone, is one of them named Frank. And he, so Ben bribes a, well, bribes, but gives a homeless man some money to get his like hotel apartment building for a few nights. So he's staying there. He's like looking at the window, sees like this like guy outside, like homeless guy just fucking yelling, and he's like, "Ah, Frank." And then like the guy like looks up, and Ben like doesn't really think anything of it, but then you realize that Frank is one of them. And I like how like they had this hunter like actually doing shit, where like the other
Yeah.
three did shit all, and McCone just kind of stands back and doesn't do
It just
anything
lets them
until,
do their own thing.
yeah, exactly. What do you think of this kind of first action scene of him meeting the hunters?
It was good. I feel, Frank was creepy. Like that scene with Frank was like looking down or looking up at him was creepy. But yeah, it's like fucking all at war in this apartment building.
I gotta
And
say, fucking Ben is ripped, man.
oh
Like
yeah.
he got jacked for this.
Was he not jacked before? I feel like
I
he.
feel like he was, but I don't know, he seemed more toned and just fucking
Yeah.
fit.
Yeah, 'cause he just got out of the shower. He's going into the shower.
But yeah, I was going to the shower, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't really do much in this scene. Like he's obviously wrapped in a towel, so I can't really. He ends up like throwing the grenade into the room
Oh yeah, I fucking love this.
with the guys. He gets up to like the top roof, and there's just like randomly a rope there for him. I didn't really understand that,
Yeah.
but he's like hanging down from the thing, and like the Y like comes down. It's pretty good.
Was yeah, because this was the scene too where he goes in the elevator and the elevator breaks down, right?
Yes, and
And
he
he
throws the
throws a
grenade
grenade.
into the elevator with McCone, I think.
Oh, he
Oh no,
throws
he.
it out, and then McCone stops it and kicks back in with them.
Yeah, because Ben's like, "Ha, I got a grenade," and then he like throws it, and like McCone stops it, and he's like, "So do I," and kicks it back at him. But then he gets like in this basement part and blocks the door, and all the goons are there now, and they're trying to get in, and he like has all like these barrels of shit, and then he ends up getting into like a sewer grate or something like that, and he ends up blowing up this whole room, whole building basically, and kills like a whole bunch of goons, and he gets this massive bonus. He does meet one of the like this little kid who's offering him help. I did kind of like, we see it in like the trailer, like whenever he's in the sewer and like the explosion happens, and like looks in the camera, and he's like, "Still here, shit eaters," and he's like flipping the camera off. Like I wish we had like more of that in the movie, like kind of more comedy. But
Yeah.
so yeah, we meet this little kid offering help. He's given the money for help. You learn that the older brother, he is a,
Bradley,
like,
Bradley.
he, I don't know if Bradley, but because he's the apostle, right? He's the guy that's making like the videos, like kind of like,
Oh, he's the one that's the apostle.
I think so, isn't
I
he?
thought he was just obsessed with like the show or podcast or whatever.
No, I thought he was the
Oh, maybe he
apostle.
is. Okay.
Because basically, this apostle guy's like this, it's not a TV show, but it's like a YouTube video kind of guy who is
Yeah.
like talking about the network and everything that they're doing, like they're changing the videos, they're making the contestants look terrible, like,
And he's just analyzed every single second of all the
and maybe
past
he's
Running Man
not.
seasons.
I don't think he is, because in this scene, Ben is helping this family. Their son or daughter is sick with cancer, and he learns that, Ben learns that the network is giving kids cancer. I don't know exactly why, I don't remember. But they play his video, like he makes his 10-minute video and he explains that the network is doing these things. Then they play the video and he like says something like, everybody says, but he's like ripping on the poor people, like, I don't care about kids, like, fucking kill the kids. And the mom's like, this guy needs to get the hell out of my place. And he's like, no, I didn't say that. And then like the other guy is like, yeah, man. Like, anyway. So he tells Ben that he can get him past the blockade in a couple of days. Just needs a few. So they let him. Oh, and the apostle or Bradley tells him that there was one guy on the show who lasted like 15, 16 days. And they're like, this guy was fucking terrible. Like, should not have survived this long. But the network let him survive because his ratings were so good that they just let him live. And then finally they're like, okay. So he's saying that's what they're doing with Ben, which I don't know if they are, but they kind of are, because he does have that kind of a vibe, right?
Yeah, and like Ben's nothing special either, right? Like
No.
he gets in these fights and he gets his ass kicked all the time. And he's just an angry dude. Like it's not like he's anything. Like Arnold was something else. Whereas Ben's just like a regular fucking dude with anger issues.
Yeah, exactly. There was no like variation in this movie. Like,
No.
so he's in the trunk, they're getting chased by biker gang. They ended up like running over the one of the bikers with the car and
Because the fucking trunk pops open, and the guy in the back is like, Richards lives.
So yeah, his pen pal, Bradley's pen pal needs a day to transfer to the shelter. His name is Elton. He gives Ben a pistol. It's now dead day seven. Laughlin is still alive. She just like partying, got fucking strippers, like she doesn't give a shit.
Hanging out at casinos.
I do love the scene whenever Ben dressed as the blind reverend. And he's trying to like put in his like just like put in his tape to like these like robot mail things that like deliver the mail. And he's like, it's dark, and he's like, it's like 2 a.m. Just a blind reverend just like going as like a garbage guy, and they like start talking, and then he doesn't put it in the trash, but then the guy leaves, comes back, and it's they figure out that Ben is the reverend. Ends up getting on a train. And then we see Laughlin ends up getting killed. She is getting chased by McCone, ends up getting away, driving away, and then she makes a video and she's like, she says like, if you can't drive drunk at least, or something like, you make sure you're good at it or something like that. I
Just
forget.
yes, says don't drink and drive unless you're good at it. And she's like, and I fucking am.
And that just gets fucking torched by like these two little kids.
Two kids with fucking flamethrowers.
Like they look like the kids all fucking Talladega Nights, honestly.
Yeah, they did actually. You're right.
So she's dead. So yeah, Ben is now the most successful contestant since season one. He makes it to Elton's house, who is played by Michael Cera. And his mother is crazy. This old lady, I forget what she calls Ben, but she doesn't like him. And
A wealth, I think.
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know
Yeah,
what a
wealth.
wealth
Yeah.
is. Did you see
I
where?
want to go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say I liked and didn't like this whole scene. Just like the way like the story and writing went, like Elton is wants to help Ben. Because we learned that his dad was a member of the Derry Police Department, which, like, when I saw Derry, I was like, hey, Derry, what the hell? And I remembered, oh, yeah, Stephen King.
I was just gonna, that's what I was gonna ask if you recognized where it was.
Because I was like, Derry, like, what the fuck does this have to do with fucking Derry? And then I remembered it's Stephen King. I was like, oh, yeah. But I did like how, like, Elton is all for helping him. Like, he has this full-on plan, right? He's like, my dad made this bunker. We're gonna pre-record your tapes, And I love when he's like, okay, we got this. We got like the anarchy symbol. We got I forget something else. He's like, what was this, like a white background? And he's like, ah, classic. Okay, I like your style. But he's like all for helping Ben and like taking down the network, right? And then he's like, okay, you can stay in this room. Bathroom's across the counter, go in the hallway. If the light's on or the light is off, my mom's asleep. And he leaves like when the lights are on for some reason. The mom catches him and she's like, oh, I fucking gotcha. And then she hits this button, which calls the
She was,
goons.
yeah, she was gonna hit it, and then fucking Elton stops her.
Yeah, then he's like, oh, my mom saw you. Fucking hits it. And you're like, why don't you just fucking lock her up for like 2 hours so we can get to the shelter? But no, he just fucking hits the button. It's like, why the fuck should you do that?
Because he wants to kill them.
I know, but he needs to
No,
get Ben out of there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But then he starts fucking triggering all of his booby traps and everything in the
Oh, he's
house.
excited.
It's yeah, it's fucking, he's
Yeah,
got a
he is.
fucking electric floor with a
It's like,
super soaker.
yeah, the fucking pump super soaker. And Ben's just looking at him like, what the fuck? Like,
Yeah.
Ben doesn't do anything in this fucking
Yeah,
this whole
Ben.
this movie, honestly,
That's true.
but
Ben
this
says to him,
one
he's like, we gotta
scene.
get the fuck out of here. And
Yeah.
Elton's like, the fastest hunter can get here in 4.5 minutes. We'll be long gone by then. And then, like, 4 minutes goes by, and he goes, "See, what did I tell you?" And Ben's like, "We're still in the fucking house."
Yeah, what are the other traps? There's like the table went up. And
That
then
one was cool too.
the flamethrowers,
Yeah.
the railing like came out and like pushed them all off the stairs,
Yeah.
and then they get down into this like tunnel area, and they think that they're gone, but then Frank shows up, shoots Elton. Elton's not dead though, and then he has like these sunglasses, and Dan is basically, what does he tell? What does he tell Ben? Because Dan's talking to Ben and he's like, you're making fucking good TV or something like that. He's like, put on the sunglasses and like walk out the tunnel, like something like that.
Never mind the
But then
part that I was thinking of was later on.
Ben isn't it ha Frank has him in a chokehold, and then Elton ends up cutting his Achilles, and they end up getting away. Oh no, Dan tells him to shoot Frank for the
Right.
camera.
Yeah.
He's like, smile for the camera, and then he ends up shooting the camera and lets Frank live. So they get in this like this buggy thing and they're like driving away, pretty sick chase, like a helicopter and stuff. And then they get to like this bridge, and on the other end is Frank. And then out of nowhere, fucking Elton gets blown in the head, and you're like, what the fuck? It's fucking McCone up a helicopter with a sniper. And then Elton had like these like grenades or something in the buggy, and Ben is like driving towards Frank, and then he ends up jumping out and like blows up fucking Frank and dives in the water, and then yeah.
It so happens to get out of the water right at the spot where he needs to be.
Yeah, Liberty Springs he gets to. Which is a new development. Also, I don't know if I'm fairly certain that there are not those mountains in that area of the United
Maine? I doubt it.
States. Yeah. Cause it looked like fucking like Colorado, like British Columbia mountains. It was like, I don't know if there's mountains that big, but
I don't think,
anyway.
yeah, because the Appalachians, or no, the Catskills, they don't go out. I don't think they go out. That's more like New York and shit.
But for me, like I'd say up until this point, I like the movie a fair amount, like decent amount. I think at this point I kind of lost interest in it. It was too long. It just felt like it was just same stuff over and over again. Like, wasn't really getting anywhere. There wasn't much action scenes with
Didn't
Ben in it.
really
And then
flow very well either. Like
no, it didn't.
it felt like each sequence just kind of like pieced onto it.
And I just didn't like the whole ending. I didn't feel the need to add in the Amelia stuff. I just felt like
Yeah.
he was trying too hard with keep adding to the story of, okay, we got this girl who is obviously in a different higher class than Ben is, and she automatically thinks he's a terrible person, and then, oh, let's just change her mind
Yeah.
and make her realize that she's living in a false world, basically.
And yeah, and like in any other movie, this would have ended up being a love interest. And it felt like it almost felt like they were gearing up for that. And then they're like, oh yeah, shit. The whole reason why Ben's on the Running Man is because he has a family. And then they kind of like geared it back a little bit, but it really felt like this had the makings to be sort of a love interest for the end of the movie, but it wasn't required.
And then he's like on the way to Canada and okay. But the vehicle ends up getting pulled over. There's this these guys called the Rustic Rock Militia Boys. They end up getting shot and blown up by the network. And I did like how she was like, oh, like we need to fucking go. And he's like, you're on the show now. She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, look, they're saying that you're a hostage on the video. And it has a video of you like going out the car, like, ah, help me. But really, you did not do that at all. And she's like, well, fuck. And then she's holding the pistol. And she's like, why am I holding the pistol? They end up getting into a blockade, and Bacone is there, and he tells her, like, just throw the pistol out. She's like, why? He's like, they're gonna let us go by. And then they let them go by. They're like letting this show continue, right? Because the ratings are so good.
The network's making money off of them.
So he tells Bacone that he wants like a fucking flying V jet and all this stuff, and he has this big bomb inside him, and I don't know, I felt like it was just too much. Like it just kept adding and adding, and let's just get to our destination.
Like, who the fuck requests a stealth bomber?
I know.
That's so over the top.
And then like I'm not trying to jump ahead, but we get to the very, very last scene, and I just did not give a shit that he was alive still and found his family.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he gets on the jet. Bacone is there. He makes Bacone take off his mask. Says that he has a BFE. And so, yeah, the show starts at 8. So they're not taping right now, but the show starts at 8 o'clock. So it's pretty much as soon as they get on the jet, the show's gonna start again. Dan is talking to him on the video. He tells Ben that he knows he's bluffing, that's just the handbag that's inside of him. They have fucking scanners on the jet. And he's offering him to be a hunter. And you learn in a minute that Bacone was the guy who lasted 29 days and they offered him to be a hunter. Did you clue into it? Like, did you have any idea that he was that guy? Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense because now the network can make money off of him and they didn't have to pay him out the big.
Yeah, exactly. So basically Dan is offering him to be a hunter. He has to kill everyone on the plane, all the hunters on the plane except for McCone. And he's saying that he killed Ben's wife and daughter. Like obviously I knew that it was fake. Like I don't even know why they tried to play it off like they did kill his wife and daughter. I don't know. But anyway, what do you think of this final fight scene and all that?
Might have been my favorite part in the movie. I
Ditto.
think in that cockpit with like the zero gravity that keeps kicking in because they keep fucking hitting the controls. So like the plane will fucking dive down, and then they lose all their gravity, and then they're kind of floating around and trying to fight each other, and then the plane will like reorient itself, and then the gravity all comes back and they fucking drop down. I don't know. It was fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's a
I
cool
enjoyed it.
cockpit fight, yeah.
Yeah.
He ends up killing the other hunters. Pretty easy, to be honest, but I mean,
Well,
they weren't
yeah.
any. I did like his fight with McCone. I thought it was pretty good. Amelia has on one of the parachutes, and so does McCone. Ben ends up getting stabbed pretty good with by McCone, but then he ends up pulling McCone's parachute, goes through like a broken window in the door. He gets like pulled through it. Excuse me. And then Ben ends up stabbing him, and killing him. He also does give, we never mentioned this, but he gave Amelia the magazines that
Right.
Elton made that kind of explained everything, kinda.
Yeah, it's like the anti-network propaganda.
Yeah, so he says that he's gonna be Hunter Six. That's pretty much the apostles talking about everything. And like this whole like ending, it just I don't know. It felt like rushed, and because like there's a video of the apostle saying that, oh, the plane exploded, they found the black box on a roof, and it's like telling everything that happened on that, and it's like, oh, is Ben still alive or not? And they're like, oh, what's this little thing that's there? And I don't know. And then like we get the ending of Sheila and Kathy in the grocery store. And then the cashier hands Sheila the sock, and she's like, "What the fuck is this?" And then she like leaves the store, and you see Ben there. I don't know. And then, yeah, he ends up going to the network. The host ends up quitting.
Bobby T.
Bobby T quits, and then Dan's like, oh, "I'll do the fucking show myself." And then all the people are riding, and Ben comes in. Kills Dan, and yeah, pretty much it. Anything else?
No.
All right, that's the way the feet run.
All right. Okay, how'd you rate this movie?
I gave it a 2 out of 5. I want to say I was disappointed, and I kind of was, but I knew the ratings this movie got was not that great, but I would still watch the movie again. Like,
Yeah.
it's a fun time. Like, if you're not fucking watching it for a podcast or like just something fun to kind of throw on in the background, maybe. You know, Glenn Powell does have his charisma. I think he is a good in this movie. I just, like you said, the writing's not that great. The story is just convoluted. Like, I don't want to compare it to the first one, but like, I just think it was way different in. I don't know what Edgar was doing. Like, just the writing's all off, the dialogue not great, the story doesn't cohesively make sense. It's just a lot of bits and pieces that don't really fit together. And there's not much action in this movie for 2.5 hours. Like,
Yeah.
I did like the score and like the acting, and 2 out of 5.
Right. I gave it a 2.5.
Okay.
Like it's a well-made movie. And it does have some cool aspects, but like just overall, it didn't do it for me. talked about the writing already, but I think not great. And honestly, like it didn't feel like The Running Man to me. Like this felt
No.
more like Escape from New York or something like that.
Kind of feel like a cash grab.
Yeah,
And I
absolutely.
don't want to say about that Edgar Wright, because he is one of the most original
Yeah.
guys working today.
No, I agree. And at this point, this is my least favorite Edgar Wright movie. I just feel like the hunters were so one-dimensional. We lost the entertainment value of original. And I don't know, like you said, you don't want to keep comparing it to the original one, but It's just like the things that made that movie so good and so much fun, they took it out of this one. And it's just like, it's 2025, dude. Like when this movie came out, like they could have had some fucking badass hunters in this movie. And they just went for like the most basic fucking army dudes that they could possibly come up with. And it was just, I don't know.
I do want to read the book. I feel like we
I
did
do too.
mention that on the last one, but I think like even more now just to kind of see, you know.
And I mean, maybe this one stays truer to the book, and that's kind of what he was leaning towards.
I feel like no, because the book was written in the 80s as well, right? So.
Yeah, I don't know. 2.5 for me.
Alrighty.
Yeah, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they. So, given the fact that this is a newer movie, it does have a critics consensus and an audience consensus. But we'll start with the critics. Spiritly sprinting through grim source material, Edgar Wright's The Running Man doesn't live up to the director's high bar for inventive action extravaganzas, but maintains a slick stride. Based on that, what do you think the critics scored?
Let's say like a 73.
Oh, you were so close. It's a 63.
Oh.
That's on 294 reviews. And the audience consensus, though a bit of the source material's thematic heft is often here, The Running Man still delivers a high octane, gripping ride supercharged by Glenn Powell's irresistible charisma. So they agree with you. The audience score was a 71% on 5,000 ratings and an average of 3.7 out of 5 or a 7.4 out of 10. What's Letterboxd have?
Letterboxd has a 3.1 out of 5. Jess gave it a 3 out of 5 from HFC. Anthony gave it a 3 out of 5 as well. Paul Walter Hauser gave it a 2 out of 5. That's it.
Okay. Wow. Not a lot. All right. It's time for our.
Cunning stunts.
How did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I'll go with 3 out of 10. Mostly because I did not think that anyone could come close to the way Tom Cruise runs. I thought, no, I'm kidding. No, I thought Glenn Powell did a great job in that aspect. I thought, you know. No, I thought some of the like the choreography, the fight choreography was pretty good. We didn't get much in it obviously, but I like kind of like the explosions were fun. The humor in it was pretty funny in some parts. Couple of hunters were cool, but so I'll give it 3 out of 10. Favorite stunt, I feel like we're gonna have the same one as this, but I go with the cockpit fight. It was really like the only action scene really that Glenn Powell does, honest.
That's
But
jumping off a bridge, but
I
yeah.
guess, yeah. But yeah, like we kind of mentioned, like kind of the going between of like the gravity, no gravity, and guns and punching and all that stuff. So I go with that. And stunt I would like to try. I would like to design my own house like Elton did.
All right.
And kind of see what I can come up with, and like give me like 30 days to try and build something and put you through it or something like that, see how far you get, you
Oh,
know.
thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you?
Man, we are so in sync with this shit. My stunts, I give it a 4. So there's not a whole lot of fight sequences in this, but the scenes that we do have, they were done well. My favorite stunt, I said the cockpit. I thought it was amazing between the transition of floating through the air and fighting on the floor and stuff like that. And stunt I want to try. I said the same thing. Like it's not really a stunt, but like I love that whole sequence in Michael Cera's house. And I think it'd be a lot of fun to, I don't know, kind of morph your house into a booby trapped, I don't know, contraption. Yeah, we were locked in on that one together. All right. wrap it up. You told me a few days ago that you were super excited for your next pick.
Damn, yeah.
So that makes me excited. What are
Good,
you
good. I'm
doing?
glad. Glad. Well, seeing how February is Black History Month, figured what better way to celebrate it than to talk about Pootie Tang.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
No, I'm
All
kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
right.
I wouldn't make you sit through that.
Okay.
But we are sticking with Black History Month,
Okay.
and we are going back to the Blaxploitation era
Okay.
to movies I've never watched, to be honest. But a movie I feel like you've seen an iteration of, maybe. But we talk about 1971's Shaft.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
I thought you, yeah, okay. No, that's good. I like that. You fucking, yeah, threw me through for a loop with Pootie Tang. I was gonna say, what the fuck? Yeah, I have watched the Samuel L. Jackson remake of Shaft.
I have not.
I've never seen the original, so I'm excited. This will be sweet. I thought you were gonna say like BlacKkKlansman or something.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm down for this. I like it. Good idea. All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Shoot us a message, chat, send us a movie, some feedback, whatever. Thanks for listening to this one.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.